Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the Inside China Basin Baseball Podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring players like all-star catcher Buster Posey.
It's about, you know, just going out and trying to have passion for the game that I've loved since I was a kid.
Inside China Basin is brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play. We're also brought to you by Houseboats.com, your home for houseboat rentals on Shasta Lake. Coming up, Ray Woodson joins us to talk about the Giants. But first, I want to tell you about my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. Live in San Francisco and love to play golf? Visit TPC Harding Park and purchase your two-year resident card, giving you immediate savings on golf and other programs at the park. Cut your green fees in half by purchasing your card today. Visit www.tpc.com/Harding Park for more information. Now let's get to the conversation I had on Monday morning with Ray Woodson. Ray, welcome back. Thanks a lot for coming on Inside China Basin. How's your summer going? I know you were at the Diamondbacks game against the Giants on Sunday. I'm glad you got to see the two teams go at it, although for the Giants, too bad they didn't get the sweep. They end up losing that last game of the series, even though Bumgarner was on the mound.
Yeah, and I decided to go a few days ago because I saw that Bumgarner was scheduled to go on Sunday. I told my wife, though, yesterday, if I was going to bet on any game this year, it would have been this game, and it would have been against the Giants, even with Bumgarner on the mound, because it's so hard to win a sweep a four-game series, much less on the road. So, I just didn't have a good feeling about it going. And sure enough, Jeanette gets double off second base, and then Pilar has a ball go by him, a ball that we expect him to make a diving catch on because he's made so many of those lately. And the bad feeling was justified, and all of a sudden it's 3-0. And Bumgarner was okay after that, but Merrill Kelly was very good for the Diamondbacks. He was really mixing up his pitches well and keeping the Giants off balance. They had a few hard hit balls at people, but you know, it's just one of those games where, and we've seen a lot of games lately where the ball is falling in for the Giants, or they hit six homers of the game. It's not a team we're used to seeing, but that's the way they are sometimes when they go out on the road. They don't hit at home, but they have these outbursts on the road. But this is one of those games, I guess, where the bad went against the Giants.
You know, on that Pilar play, I noticed on the replay, you look at Adam Jones, and he was not running hard at the beginning of that play, and he would have had an inside-the-park home run, I think, pretty easily. And, you know, that's around baseball. That is an issue. There are a lot of players who just don't run hard to first base. I mean, on Twitter, I've given a hard time to Manny Machado because he makes a lot of money, and, you know, he doesn't really run hard to first base. Sometimes Bryce Harper doesn't run hard, and, you know, it just bothers me. I think everybody should run the bases like Mike Yastrzemski. I mean, that guy, when he comes out of the box, doesn't matter where he hits it. He is flying out of the box. Same thing with Kevin Pillar, and I think those are the kind of guys that help you win games.
Yeah, you know, when Jones hit that ball, it got beyond Pillar and going to the wall. I looked out there and I said, wait a minute, he's only at second? You know, because, he didn't get a good start out of the box. Well, that Brian Snitker benched Ronald Acuna in the Braves game.
Yeah.
Yeah, because ball he should have been at second base, but he was looking at it. Barry Bonds, toward the end of his career, was getting a lot of flack about that, but you understood it with him because he really was trying to conserve his energy and was still an amazingly productive player into his 40s. But by and large, yeah, I don't know what it is. Dog days? You can't say that with Manny Machado because that's been an issue here and there, not just in August. But whatever the case may be, there are these lapses sometimes where guys aren't getting out of the box really fast. And on Yastrzemski's ball that he hit at the gap, you could see he was burning it around first base, and he was going to get that triple. That's turned out Jones ended up scoring anyway, didn't he, on a base hit? So
yeah.
It all worked out, but I thought when it got by Pilar, oh yeah, this is an inside the park home run because I know Jones can still run. But those 90 feet, in this day and age, maybe players don't think about it as much because it's ball hitting the ball over the wall, right? it's like, the home runs can cover up a lot of deficiencies. They can account for a lot of sins in the game that people forget. But, it's still important. Each 90 feet in this game is still important because you have to assume that a lot of games are still going to be fairly close. Even if it's 10-9, it's still going to be close. So it still matters. In this case, it's okay. It worked out for Arizona anyway. But there are going to be times where it's going to cost the team a game.
Since we mentioned Yaz and Pilar, I just love the way they play the game. I mean, and it's not just the fact that they're hustling like we just talked about. It's the other parts of baseball. I mean, these guys are gamers. They come to play every day. They're clutch. They're just coming up with big hits. They just seem to have all the little nuances of helping out a team. And I think that's a major reason why the Giants are in this thing. I mean, you could point to other players as well, but those two players that were acquired by Farhan Zaidi, they are just, major impact players that I don't think anybody expected. I mean, Pilar is definitely having a career year. Same with Yastrzemski, but this is his first, trip in the major leagues after all of those years in the minor league. So those two guys, I just point at them. They're so much fun to watch.
Well, you look at Yastrzemski, that's like found money for the Giants. I don't think anybody was counting on him to be as productive as he was. Pilar has been a real good acquisition for the Giants and solidified their center field defense. I mean, you think back, Joe, what was the last center fielder who was this good defensively? It's been a while.
Yeah.
You have to go back, I don't know, Darren Lewis? You have to go back quite a way. I mean, and this outfield at the start of the year was the worst in baseball and one of the worst of all time in terms of production, in terms of defense and everything. You look at the guys that were rolling out there at the start of the year, and it's not a knock on Steven Duggar. He was just getting started in Major League Baseball. Mac Williamson scuffled. Gerardo Parra didn't hit here, and of course he went to Washington and started hitting some. But that outfield at the start of the year was terrible.
Connor Joe, Michael Reed.
Oh, yeah, it was just like throw stuff up against the wall, see what sticks, give them 20 at-bats to make an impression. It was audition time. It was like Hollywood Canteen, there's a lineup for extras. But now they have a presentable outfield. They got Dickerson, who's made a nice impact. The only problem with him is he going to be able to stay healthy? Austin Slater came back, a different hitter, after working with Barry Bonds. Then you have Pilar, you have Yastrzemski. It's a presentable outfield. You look at their numbers since June 1st, and it coincides with the Giants' surge since June 1st. In addition to the fact that they addressed some issues with starting pitching, they still have issues, but they addressed some of them. But the biggest problem for this team was that outfield. It was god-awful. And now, they're making some impact, at least. And Yastrzemski and Pilar are a big part of that, and it's why they're in the wild card race.
Yeah, and it's very exciting. I mean, every day you want to see what's going on with this team because they're in the wild card race. It makes me really think about how great the wild card is. I wasn't a big fan early on, but it does bring hope to teams, and you just want to watch every day. You want to watch every inning, every pitch of every game. So the team is in it, but Ray, let's be honest. I mean, the flaws might be too much to overcome. For one thing, the bullpen is different. Ever since the trade deadline, when they traded away some of their relief pitchers, some of the other guys, maybe they were overtaxed, but I don't know. Tony Watson is not the same guy. Will Smith doesn't seem to be the same guy since the trade deadline. So let's start with the bullpen. We'll get to the starters later. The bullpen right now is a little weakened from where it was before.
Well, yeah, that's going to hurt them because that has been a strength of this team. And, they dealt a couple guys away, but still they've got some what you would presume to be pretty good arms. I mean, Will Smith was pitching at a very, very high level, so I guess it's a matter of the odds, that he would probably drop down a little bit. And, part of it is August. We're mid-August now. It's the dog days. A lot of arms get tired. We know that. Maybe that's what's happening with Tony Watson. I don't know. He just didn't have it in Arizona. I saw it yesterday. He couldn't locate to save his life. Looks like the velocity's still there, but he didn't have the command of his pitches at all. And so, you got to ride with this guy till the end of the season and see what happens. He's been very good for the Giants, but, yeah, it's been a little troubling in his recent outings. And Will Smith, you hope he he gets it lined up in September if they're still in contention. And, of course, in September they get the call-ups and they get some relief for the bullpen and reduce some of the wear and tear. And, of course, there's a bigger load on right now because they have made a couple of deals. Dyson and Melanson are gone, and they ate up some innings for you. And now they have to count on some young guys like Coonrod and Jerez and so forth. And, you know, it's been hit or miss as far as that is concerned. Travis Bergen, there's another couple of young pitchers they've called up. You know, Ray Black has been on the shuttle back and forth, for example. So, yeah, it's a weak spot right now, and, you know, maybe it gets a little stronger in September, and you hope that they're still in contention in September, and that can be a part of it. But that's a concern. I mean, I was thinking about this yesterday, looking at both the Giants and the Diamondbacks. They're the most 500 of 500 teams that you could have. And that's the way the Giants were last year. It was a running gag, right, as far as how many times they were 500 during the season, until September hit. And then they cratered, and you know the team ended up being even worse than you thought they would be. They were 73-89 because they lost 21 of their last 26. But they were 68-68. Remember, at the start of September, and that was a different team than this team. A lot of folks like to look at the run differential with the teams, and there are several teams in front of the Giants who have a far superior run differential. We know that, but the Giants. They rolled up a huge deficit in that department in the first 2 months of the season. And to Farhan Zaidi's credit, he's gone out and made a lot of different moves, again, incremental moves to make the team a little bit better. And so what you have now after that hot streak in July is a team that got into contention. So that's kind of fun, a little more fun than maybe we thought it was going to be in Bruce Bochy's last couple months as Giants manager. And by the way, they gave him a vacation to a Montana lodge yesterday. That was the Diamondbacks going away gift to Bochy. So I don't know if that's something he has a hankering for, but by golly, he's got 4 days in Montana if he wants them. But, you know, it's cool. And the crowd was very respectful. There was about 25,000 people there yesterday. So, I mean, it's cool in that they're playing meaningful games now. They have a thought that they're still in contention, but you look at the teams ahead of them. First of all, Washington's going to claim the first wild card spot. I'm very sure of that. They might still win the division the way they've been playing baseball over the last few months. They've been very, very good. They've been the best team maybe in the National League outside the Dodgers.
Yeah.
And you know, the other spot is up for grabs, and it's about trying to run down the Cubs. But the Cubs have bullpen problems of their own. And so that makes you think, all right, we got a shot. It may not be a good shot, but you're still alive. And to me, that's better than I thought they would be at this point of the year.
We'll continue the conversation with Ray Woodson right after this. If you're thinking about a fun vacation, how about renting a houseboat on beautiful Shasta Lake? That's right. Just go to houseboats.com, where they offer houseboat vacations on Shasta Lake. They also rent cabins as well as wakeboard, day cruising, fishing, pontoon, and party boats. Food and beverage service, fueling, brand name clothing, souvenirs, and a grocery store are all available at their modern marinas. Jones Valley Resort and Silverthorne Resort are the premier boating destinations on Shasta Lake, and houseboats.com will set you up there. Houseboats.com has the best service, the best boats, and the best locations. Call 877-468-7326 or go to houseboats.com today. Might come down to starting pitching, Ray. I mean, yeah, you mentioned Washington, and they have really good starting pitching. And the Mets, of course, that is what keeps them in it, plus the power, the great season that Pete Alonso is having. But with the Giants, you know, I look at, okay, Bumgarner is having an above-average season. Every once in a while, he kind of, you know, has an aberration of a start. Like yesterday wasn't his best start of the season. And Samardzija has been mostly consistent. I mean, this has been a really good year, his best as a Giant, I think. And if you get Johnny Cueto back, it makes a difference. Or if Logan Webb pitches the way he did the other day. Mm-hmm. Or if Derek Rodriguez. But there's a lot of question marks in there because Tyler Beede has not been able to perform well. I mean, he's gone, what, five starts in a row where he's been getting hit around. He's not hitting his spots. And Sean Anderson, he went on the shelf. And, you know, he also was really inconsistent. So they're looking for somebody to step up. They're going to need to get another starter in there that steps up if they're going to make the postseason.
Well, Cueto is kind of the wild card in the wild card for them if they're still in contention in September, right? What's he going to bring to the table? But You know, as far as the person he's replacing the rotation, the bar is kind of low, as you mentioned. So, I mean, does Connor Menez give them anything? You know, the thing with Beedy, and it's guys have mentioned on the broadcast, and I think Mike Kruko's right about this, when you give up a home run, where's your focus after that? And sometimes it's gone astray for Tyler Beedy. And this is, you know, part of the maturation of a major league pitcher. When things go badly, can you lock in again? You know, Bumgarner's real good about that. He gave up a three spot in the first inning, and then the rest of the way was just a solo home run by Wilmer Flores, who apparently is a Hall of Famer all of a sudden when he takes on the Giants anyway. But, you know, the idea is to give him innings and try to keep him in the game. Well, the Giants, you know, had a shot there around the sixth or seventh inning, even after the bad start. And, you know, you're playing in Arizona, so you always feel like you have a chance to come back. But, you know, he's the ace, nominally, but he's not the classic ace anymore that we see with some other teams that we saw with Bumgarner in the past. Yeah, he's still pretty good. He's still above average. But what does Johnny Cueto bring to the table? I mean, I'm waiting to hear an update that he's ready to do some minor league starts. And then, you know, if that works out, it's a couple weeks rollout. Maybe he's making starts at September. That's going to be something really interesting to watch. But they've got to stay within, you know, three or four games to make that worthwhile. Logan Webb, very impressive. And again, after the first inning, right, he gave up a couple, a rough start. He locked in. You had to be impressed by that.
Oh, yeah.
First major league start. So, I mean, is that the mentality he's going to bring to this job? Because, you know, he's got great stuff. Tyler Beedy has great stuff. We all know that. I mean, he's the first-round pick material. But, you know, as you mentioned, it's been five bad starts now where things go sideways and he can't get it back together again. And they're going to need a little bit more, I think, in terms of mental focus out of him. I don't know how many more chances he gets.
Well, for those of you who missed out on the Ryan Vogelsong podcast, I just wanted to take out a little bit. Here's what he said about Tyler Beedy.
We've had mechanical conversations. We've had pitch sequence conversations. We've had just about every conversation you can have as a pitcher. And the last one was just, Tyler, it's time for you to turn into the bulldog that I know you are. You know, Tyler has some of the best right-handed stuff I've ever seen. And, you know, and I think at the end of Tyler's career, we're going to look back and you're going to see stuff that compares with Justin Verlander. That's how much talent I think he has.
Yeah.
As far as being a bulldog, Tyler's got a little bit to go, but he's getting there. And I just finally told him, hey, this is the only thing that's keeping you from getting to the point and be the pitcher that you want to be. And I said, listen, you're a super nice kid and you're a nice guy. And I think you take that on the field sometimes. And I'm like, I'm not telling you have to be like me or be like Madison where you want to kill everybody all the time.
Right.
But I said, at some point in time, you got to realize that these guys that are hitting against you, they want to take what you got. And I said, and you're letting them do it. I said, it's time for you to put your foot down and be the bulldog that I think you can be and start sticking it up some people's butts.
I mean, that, to me, that was such a great quote from Ryan Vogelsong and what he told Beedy. And, you know, yeah, maybe that kicks in at some point. It does seem like most of it is mental for Beedy, not physical.
Yeah, it sure appears that way from where I'm sitting. And I got a chance to talk to him for a little bit in spring training in Scottsdale and really impressed with him, really impressed with his attitude. And, you know, he's been through some stuff, and he's really trying to focus. He's really making good faith effort at it. But, you know, there's intellectually understanding what you have to do and emotionally understanding what you have to do. And I think Vogelsong's right. And, you know, that quote tells me everything I needed to know about Ryan Vogelsong's career, because, you know, he didn't have the stuff Tyler Beedy has. I mean, he had major league quality pitcher, but still, nothing that really stood out to you. He'd never give in to a hitter, though. And he had that bulldog mentality, even on nights where he didn't have his best stuff. And that's why he was so appreciated by the Giants, that you knew you were getting everything he had, mentally and physically, and he wasn't going to back down to anybody. No, Beedy's not there yet. He's a nice guy, and he doesn't have to be Vogelsong. He doesn't have to be Bumgarner. But he does have to be a little more mentally tough than he has been, I think.
Another guy who was appreciated by the Giants and their fans, Joe Panik. And, you know, it's tough to see any of the players who were involved in those World Series teams go. And, you know, of course, he was a major part of the 2014 World Series. Who can ever forget the double play he started by flipping the ball right out of his glove over to second base to Brandon Crawford and starting that double play. And it wasn't just that. I mean, he was a steady player for the Giants, and something happened along the way with his hitting. You know, I happen to feel that he was hitting too many fly balls, but whatever it was, he needed a change of scenery, and maybe he's going to help the Mets. I know, you know, at times he already has. And I think Scooter Jeanette, you know, same kind of thing, change of scenery. He's healthy now. He's helping out. Sometimes that kind of stuff happens, but it's emotional for fans. I mean, it's tough to see that, or to even see, you know, Brandon Belt, Brandon Crawford, Buster Posey not be the same type of players that they were before.
No, they're not. Buster Posey is a shadow of the hitter he was, and I know the hip issue has taken some of the power out of his swing, as well as time being behind the plate, and maybe it's just a matter of time before he feels a little more strength. You see glimpses of it from time to time where he does have that power, but it's not going to be there on a consistent basis anymore. But he's still such a good defender behind the plate. I was reading, I think it was in Fangraphs a couple weeks ago, he had 13 defensive runs saved, so he's still a plus as a catcher. You know, Brandon Crawford is still pretty good at shortstop. He's not quite at the level he was, but he's still pretty good at shortstop, but he's not hitting this year. And he got off to a horrible start, and he's been trying to dig out of that hole, and it just hasn't happened. You know, we know he can be streaky, and maybe he gets a hot streak here at the end of the year to help him out. You know, I look at Jeanette, and again, this is a player whose power is going to mask a few deficiencies. There are a couple plays I've seen. In fact, one yesterday in a ground ball where he tried to backhand it and it bounced off his glove, and I thought to myself, yeah, Panik makes that play. But he's got some pop in his bat, and you know he has been hurt. He's just getting his swing back, and it's starting to come around, so that's what's enticing about him. Had a couple of boneheaded base-running plays over the weekend, and I think to myself, well, would Panik have done that? Probably not, but Jeanette has a lot more power than Panik has. This is a guy that you want to get the ball in the air because he's hit 50 home runs the last two full seasons. That, like I said, masks a lot of problems. And I think getting used to playing with Crawford as well and vice versa. But, you know, the core guys they have that they count on to step up, maybe they can. Maybe they're a point of their career where they're not the lead horse. You need somebody else to pick up that slack. Now, fortunately for them, other guys have picked up the slack. Guys like Mike Yastrzemski, again, some found money the last couple of months. And Alex Dickerson making a big impact. And Austin Slater had some nice moments. They're getting offense. Evan Longoria got on a hot streak before he got hurt. And he's just getting his swing back. Brandon Belt, you know, they've had him in the leadoff spot. And he'll work a walk for you, and he'll hit a home run. And I sense that if he played for a different team, his numbers would be quite a bit better. But, you know, he's still hitting 230. So he's not the lead dog. He's a complimentary player and a good one. But there's nobody here who's going to say, okay, guys, I'm going to put the team on my back, and we're going to lead them to the postseason. There's a lot of guys chipping in, helping out. But is there anybody you look at and say, yeah, he's going to get hot, and they're going to get into the postseason through his efforts? It may happen, but I just don't see it right now.
Yeah, I mean, they need Pablo Sandoval back, that's for sure, because he was clutch, and he's hurting right now with his elbow, and he's the one guy from the past that has produced for them. When I look at this Cubs series, Ray, I think you can't get swept. I mean, you're playing head-to-head against the team in front of you. It'd be nice to win two out of three or to come up with a sweep, but you lose two out of three, you know, you lose a game. You get swept, that is a big problem. And they're going up against some good pitchers. Cole Hamels, although he got crushed last time out, but Hamels is a good pitcher. Darvish, you know, he's a strikeout artist. And Kyle Hendricks, who's always good and always gets a lot of ground balls. So they're going to need to have their bats going. They've got Beedy, Rodriguez, and Samardzija pitching against the Cubs at Wrigley this week.
Yeah, you look at those pitching matchups and you don't like it, right? Samardzija might, he has been consistent. He might give you another good outing. Derek Rodriguez was great the last time out. Can you count on that again? I don't know. But you look at the three that the Cubs are rolling out there, and Hendricks will drive him crazy. You know, he's just the kind of guy who who keeps the Giants off balance. So, you look at the pitching matchups, and if you're betting on something like this, and God, don't ever bet on individual baseball games, but I know people do it. It doesn't look good, right? So you go out of there losing 2 out of 3. Yeah, that wouldn't be great. You hate to lose any ground this time of the year. We're getting into late August now. But it wouldn't be an absolute disaster. You can make up 4 games. It's just that you got to climb over these other teams. You mentioned the Mets, how well they've been playing. And, the Brewers are in there as well. I look at all these teams on paper, and yes, they're better than the Giants. And so, you know, the thing is now you've got a small sample size. So now it gets down to random stuff, to who gets hot at the right time. And, you know, the Giants are still capable of doing that. They won 17 out of 20 in a stretch in July. Can they put together one more streak like that to get to the top of the wild card? Because that's what it's going to take. And, if you're going to do that, you want to take 2 out of 3 in Chicago. You really do. But if you take only 1 out of 3, it's not going to kill you. Getting swept might kill you.
Yeah, I agree. And it's all about just delaying the Montana vacation for Bruce Bochy, right? That's all it is.
Yeah, well, he's going to take it anyway, I guess, at the end of the year. But do you want to go to Montana in November, right? Montana in October is lovely, probably. It's probably a little cold in November. So if that's the case, yeah, that would delay it until next year for Bruce Bochy. By the way, I'm still not convinced he's done managing.
Ooh, there's that's something to leave us with for future food for thought. Wow. Hope you're right, because I'd love to see him managing again, because I think that's what he does, and it could happen, but I don't know, not right away. I think next year he'll be in a front office or something, and then who knows.
Well, I remember, and I was there when he announced in Scottsdale in February that it was going to be his last time managing the Giants. He came out and talked to reporters in the dugout right after he had spoken to the players at the clubhouse. And one of the questions was, so is this it for you as a manager, period? And he said, you never say never. That was his answer. You never say never, but it kind of feels like this is it, because he's been managing for 25 straight seasons. And think about that, just to manage for 25 straight seasons, what a grind that is. And, you know, he's had a couple of health issues along the way, but he's in pretty good shape now. But he must love it, right? He's been doing it for so long. He's so used to it. Can he get used to not doing that anymore? That's a hard sell for some people. I don't know, whether his makeup will tell him, I can't stand this, just knocking around and doing this and that. I want to get back in the dugout and be part of the competition. Because when you do something for that long and do it as well as he has, for sure that he's a hell of a competitor. So what do you do to replace that competitive high? I don't know if you're able to do that. So that's the one question I have about somebody like Bruce Bochy is, if something else comes along down the line, it's going to be hard for him to turn it down.
Yeah, no, I agree. So we could have breaking news right there.
We'll see. It's all speculation exactly. Right now, but it's an educated guess on my part.
Yeah. Ray, thanks a lot. I really appreciate it. Hopefully we'll catch up again before the end of the season.
All right. Sounds good, Joe.
That's Ray Woodson. Thanks to him for coming on Inside China Basin this week. Next week, we'll be at Oracle Park in San Francisco, podcasting as the Giants take on the Arizona Diamondbacks. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to Inside China Basin on thesportsvirus.com.